Coming down on me, his power pinning me in place. I begin to drag myself away. My magic moves through me, mending bones and tissue as it goes. Now that I've drank the lilac wine, my body can heal itself. Not that it's pleasant. I grit my teeth as bones snap back into place, my body throbbing at the speedy healing. All the while my connection pulses. I feel a foot on my back. A second later, it kicks my side, flipping me to my back. My wings vanish, the pain and pressure of them too great. I'm blind, and yet I feel Eurybios' soulless, empty eyes staring down at me. I will never stop fighting you, I say.
I count on it, Enchantress.
Familiar magic, Dessa's magic, reaches out through our bond and brushes against me. A choked cry nearly slips out at the sensation. Des?
Shh.
The shadows seem to whisper. All at once, the darkness peels back. Its smoky, shadowy tendrils fold away from the edges of the room. I can smell old bones and rot. I can see the pale walls and the thief's stolen throne. I take in a shuddering breath. The quiet humming from the pool behind me drifts in again.
A trick. A clever trick.
The whispers are coming from all around me, and I feel as though I might be going mad. Slowly, the thief's form becomes visible. One by one, the stars on his body wink out, and then the darkness settles back to pale flesh.
He doesn't know.
Eurybios still looms over me, his foot resting on my chest. His own chest drips with inky black blood that evaporates into the air like curls of smoke. A few final claw marks heal over as I stare.
Don't tell him.
Tell him what? But then as quickly as the whispers come, they're gone. Eurybios tilts his head.
How to punish you for your transgression?
I steel myself, swallowing thickly. I don't know what's going on, but I do know that trying to carve out the thief's heart has probably earned my mate some form of punishment. The shadows around us ripple, raising the hairs along my arms. Just when I expect to hear Dez's distant screams, there's nothing. No screams, no weakening of my bond. The thief sways, his foot leaving my chest. He glances away from me at the doorway. He turns back to face me, his furrowed eyebrows belying his confusion.
On second thought.
Eurybios lifts his foot from my body and extends a hand to me. I stare at it warily. When I don't take his hand, he smiles down at me.
Fine.
With one hand, he reaches for my head, with the other, my mouth. Taking a thick clump of my hair, he begins to drag me towards the pool. I scream, my cries muffled by his hand, and I claw at his wrist, anything to relieve the horrible pressure on my scalp.
Tradition dictates that every Death King's bride must be baptized in the Well of Resurrection.
The closer we get to that pool, the more the humming becomes a soft dirge. That glowing, flickering water calls to my siren. Right as we're on the very edge of it, Eurybios lifts me to my feet so that I can see, firsthand, the pool he means to baptize me in. The surface of the water stirs, and then something from its depths moves. I'm not going in there, I try to say, but my mouth is still muffled. Another something moves, a bit of cloth catching my eye. The longer I stare, the more I see. First a delicate arm, then a face, then another face and another. All fairies, all silently screaming in apparent agony. Jesus! They crowd towards the surface, their hands pressed against the water as though there were some true barrier preventing them from escaping. I suck in a breath when I see a familiar face among them. The fey woman who so recently passed through Eurybios' halls is now trapped down there with who knows how many other souls. The thief pulls me close.
You wanted to know what happens to the dead? Look no further.
They reach for me. My wings threaten to expose themselves, and the thief must notice.
Chantress, are you frightened? He asks, his lips brushing against my ear. Because you should be. Once I throw you in, you will have to fight your way out.
Going to carve him up from ear to ear and wear a necklace of his entrails, the siren hisses. With a fierce push, Eurybios shoves me into the pool. I hit the water with a hard slap, but I don't go all the way under, not right away. My head and shoulders are still above water. Immediately I feel them, the ghosts that live in this pool. Their phantom skin slides against me, and I feel their spindly fingers as they grab at my leathers, pulling me deeper into the pool. Let me go, I command. The hands that hold me don't budge. So much for that. I begin dragging myself back to the edge of the water towards the thief who watches me with a treacherous smile. More and more hands grab for my legs, my ankles, and my torso. The dead are clinging to me. I'm utterly spooked by the sensation. They haven't tried to do more than that, though. At least, not yet. I want to reach for the thief and beg him to save me. Anger and pride halt my hand and my voice. Instead, I settle for glaring at him. He grins back at me, his form darkening slightly. I can't believe he's a god. An evil, cursed god. You know, he says conversationally as I'm dragged backwards, I knew a siren once. She was beautiful, like you, and mated, like you. But that is where the similarities ended. A hand jerks on my ankle hard and I nearly lose my footing. I don't really give a fuck about story time right now. I just want these dead fairies to stop groping me. Eurybios frowns, his eyes softening as they grow distant. But that was another life, he says, still lost in his memories. I shudder as phantom bodies swarm around me. They stare at me from below with agonized eyes. Piece by piece, they remove my gear and carry it off, leaving me in nothing but the shirt and trousers I put on back in Somnia. Even that is not enough to satiate their interest in me. They rally around me, drawn to my life force or my glamour. I cannot imagine how many of them have been imprisoned in this pool. Not even death could release them from the thief's torment. Eurybios leans against a nearby pillar. As he watches me, he begins to move his hand, murmuring under his breath. What are you doing? He pauses his chants, but his hand still twists and flicks, removing a ward. Removing a ward? What ward? There are worlds where magic has no effect on me, he says conversationally, and worlds where it does. This is the latter. So he's affected by magic? And the ward in question, is this something he placed on himself? Something he's now lifting? If so, that changes things. Why are you telling me this? My voice wavers mid-sentence as an arm winds around my torso and yanks me back. I want to hear you sing, he says as he finishes. I feel the subtlest stir in the air as the ward dissolves away. It was so expertly crafted that I didn't detect its presence, and now I barely notice its departure. No holds barred, Eurybios continues. I want to feel what all those men feel when they died at your kind's feet. I raise my eyebrows. You're not immune to my glamour? I ask, my skin glowing. It's slow to process, partly because I have a horde of dead fae trying to drag me under, but holy shit. He smiles a little, his eyes narrowing. Enchant me, if you can. The siren surges. We can enthrall him. My wings protrude, my claws sharpen, and my scales shift and resettle along my forearms. My glamour thrums against my skin and coats my throat. At the display, the dead around me grow frenzied, grabbing me and dragging me down with greater urgency. I fight against them, but it's a losing battle. And just when things were becoming halfway interesting. Of course, that's the entire reason why the thief removed the ward. He wants to hear my glamour when I pose no threat. If he can fall prey to us, then we'll always be a threat.
My neck slides under the water, my chin skimming the surface. I part my lips. There are only two things I want from him. One, for the thief to release his hold on Dez, and two, for him to die. He looks undaunted.
Any attempts you make on my life will be thwarted. I have my own tricks too, Enchantress.
Then saving Dez it is. I'm trying to piece together the correct order when the spirits of the pool jerk hard on me. My mouth slips beneath the surface and I have to tilt my head back to speak. Time's up. Come join me in the water. I breathe, and then I'm dragged under. The blood rushes through my veins, my siren singing as I call a god to me, to us. This has been a decade in coming. This is what I was born to do. Only now am I finally listening to the siren's call. Some of the spirits release me, swarming over to this new creature. Even with my glamour, I can tell the dead find him infinitely more interesting. He's a god, which makes him more than just alive. He's eternal. It will make killing him interesting. As soon as the dead's hold loosens on me, I rise to the surface once more, just in time to see Eurybios wading towards me, uncaring of the hands that grab at him. Curiosity and want war for dominance on his features. This is a creature who will take and take and take. The spirits yank at me, redoubling their efforts, and it's a struggle to keep my head above water.
So defiant, the thief says, drinking me in, his eyes shining brightly. Even now when you know fighting is hopeless.
I don't know whether he's referring to the ghosts pulling me down or the more general problem of me being his captive. My lips slip beneath the surface once more. Eurybios grabs my shoulders.
Let me help you,
he says, and I think for a moment he's going to draw me up. But then,
I anoint you in the waters of the dead.
I don't have time to suck in air before he plunges me down into the depths of this pool. Beneath the surface, a thousand different souls howl, their faded magic sparking against my skin. He holds us prisoner, centuries of unrest, never ending. The spirits drag me down deeper and deeper into the dark waters. Need our tithe? Give him to us. They claw at my glowing skin. I am going to kill him, I say into that cursed water. My voice rings true and clear, lilting eerily in the water. I sense something sweep through the dead then, something besides their hunger and fury. Excitement. Their hold loosens on me just a bit. Give him to us, they repeat. The siren in me smiles. I will. Eurybios jerks me to the surface once more.
Rise, my consort, he says.
I'm shaken. Deep in those depths, I heard the dead and I felt them. All those who passed during the centuries he's ruled here, they're not supposed to be languishing here in this tiny pool. The defunct ship I saw earlier now comes to mind. The vessel sits unused at the castle's dock, and beyond it an entire ocean awaits. But the captain or ferryman or whoever moves souls on is no longer doing so, and the Fae who have died are now suffering for it. This must end. The spirits have released me, but the thief's hands are still on my skin, his eyes following his touch. The human in me wants to pull away from him, but the siren beckons him closer. So very arrogant to linger in the water with a siren. So very arrogant and reckless. Save Dez. Kill this monster. Those are the only two goals I have at the moment. Now that I know my glamour works on the thief, these goals seem temptingly easy. But that's the same thought I had when I sought to ambush Galagar on Barbos. No doubt there's a trap waiting for me here as well. Nothing is easy when it comes to the thief. There are two kinds of predators, one who chases after prey, and one who coaxes their prey to them. A great god like Eurybios must feel impervious to harm. He's too great, too powerful. It will be his downfall, but I can't be too hasty. Let him think he has control of the situation. Beguile him softly. I stare up at the thief. Am I the only one to be baptized? His eyes glitter. In response, he steps closer to me, his gaze fixed on my face.
You are utterly singular. You always have been.
He looks awed by the effect I have on him.
If you want to baptize me, Siren, then simply give me the order.
He begs for death. I take his hand. Come, my captor king. My blood stirs as I tug him deeper and deeper into the pool. I can feel the ancient compulsion to draw my victim into the water. Water. Months ago, I remember thinking about the origins of my kind, how sirens were known for luring sailors into the sea. That story never made sense. The perverse cruelty of it all, the seeming randomness of the victim and the manner of death. But it's not random at all. The water is hungry for blood. I am hungry for blood. Vengeance and lust and blood sport all call to me. Have patience. Maybe those sailors deserved their deaths. Maybe they didn't. I place my hands on Eurybios' shoulders. He's watching my lips, waiting for my next order. Patience? Let me anoint you in the waters of the dead. My claw tips dig into his shoulders, pressing down. Slowly, he lowers himself. Patience. I lean in close until only a breath separates my lips from his. Drown. I breathe. Our patience is gone. The thief laughs, looking disturbingly unfazed.
I warned you I had precautions put in place.
My stomach tightens with dread and disappointment. Too hasty. Of course it wouldn't be that easy. The thief's form flickers and fades. An instant later, he reforms from the shadows, and when he does, something in his face changes. Maybe it's confusion, maybe it's surprise. Whatever it is, it's a dead giveaway that Eurybios' precautions are not working as they should. He glances at the dark corners of the room.
The shadows, the thief accuses, have betrayed you.
A familiar voice finishes. I jolt, my eyes darting up towards the sound. And there he is. Dez. Chapter 44. Dez! My heart thumps painfully. Dear God, Dez! He's right there, a stone's throw away. The Night King has draped himself over Eurybios' throne, his back leaning against one of the armrests, his legs propped up against the other, lounging like he wasn't all but lost to me only moments ago. My connection throbs, just as it has since the thief exposed his true power and identity. It must be a trick, a cruel, calculated trick. Eurybios holds Dez's life in the palm of his hand. Only the thief is looking a bit startled, too. He swivels to face the bargainer even as he still struggles against my command. Never have I seen a creature withstand my glamour this long. Dez lifts his eyebrows.
Didn't expect the shadows to fuck you over, did you?
The Night King hops off the throne and saunters over to the pool. Briefly, his eyes touch on mine, and I see a thousand things in them. Most of all, I see yearning. So much yearning. It matches my own. My bargainer. I stare at him like he's an apparition. All that pain I'd been working on overcoming just to function, it's like the wound reopened. But now there's hope to accompany the pain. So much hope I can barely breathe around it. Maybe this is a trick, but perhaps I'm not the one being played. The thief fights against my glamour and the pull of the dead who still cling to him. It's now his turn to attempt to escape this pool, wading towards the edge. You're to stay in this pool, Eurybios. I command from behind him, the full force of my glamour folded into my words. Beyond him, Dez sways a little towards me, even as he stares at Eurybios. I can tell my mate is trying hard not to look in my direction. He's no longer immune to my glamour, and I'm no longer holding my powers in check. Between us, the thief's progress slows. He looks over his shoulder at me.
You will pay for this later, he says, his voice laced with venom.
The room around us darkens with Dez's vengeance. People like us are someone's nightmare. I narrow my eyes on the thief and smile a little. I don't think so. The King of Night comes to the edge of the pool and crouches down, studying our foe. The thief jerks against the incessant pull, driving him downwards.
You might have power, Eurybios,
Dez eventually says,
but there is one thing you never considered.
My heart beats faster. Somehow Dez orchestrated this.
Loyalty.
Eurybios' back is to me. What I would give to see this conniving monster's expression.
For centuries, the Shadows and I have been the closest of confidants.
The Shadows speak to me, Dez admitted back on Earth. It was how he learned so many secrets.
Do you think that means anything to them? To me?
The thief says.
I existed before the dawn of day.
The shadows around us begin to shiver and grow.
Do you know what they told me?
Dez says. Eurybios falls silent. Dez's face hardens.
Even shadows can deceive, and gods can die.
Dez looks at me then, and like a thunderclap, I feel that look down to my bones. Love. Love as endless as the night. That's all I see in his eyes.
Now, my queen,
the Night King says to me.
Where were you?
He's handing off the torch, letting me resume the insidious task I'd begun. Slowly, a smile creeps along my face. Vengeance at last. I lift my chin. Dez, you are to ignore every command I give from this point forward. His eyes flash with devilish delight.
As you wish, my sweet siren.
With that parting line, he vanishes, melting into the darkness as he has so many other times since I first met him. Our bond sings, and I can feel him down the other end of it, sure and steady. My gaze moves to the thief, and my whole persona changes. For a minute, I set aside the knowledge that Dez appears to be alive and well. Right now, an entity needs to pay.
Face me, Eurybios.
Slowly, the god rotates around, his expression incredulous. He's dominated others for so long that he can't possibly recognize the position he's now in.
I will enjoy paying you back for this,
he vows.
You will not threaten me, I say, nor will you use any of your magic on me or anyone else. Right now, you are powerless.
The Death King's mouth curves up.
I will never be powerless, Enchantress,
he says, wading through the souls to get to me, still resisting my earlier command. He doesn't look frightened. I don't think the thief even knows what fear is. He's never had to fear a thing in his life. As he moves towards me, he begins murmuring. His oily magic stirs, and I sense him redrawing his ward.
Too late, Death King.
Drown, I say, my voice hypnotic. The thief barks out a laugh, interrupting his work.
You cannot kill me.
I can do whatever it is I want, so come closer,
I say, moving out into deeper water, souls slipping past me.
Find me beneath the waves. Feel my watery kiss. Drown in my arms. Die for me, my undying king.
Sinister, seductive. Even death is tempting when a siren delivers it sweetly. The thief continues to wade towards me, only now his torso is beginning to disappear beneath the water's surface.
I cannot die.
Yes, I breathe. You can.
I move to the middle of the pool, feeling my magic in my veins and in the water. Eurybios's eyes are locked on mine, longing shining bright in them. The water has nearly reached his shoulders. He begins murmuring once more.
Meet me down in the water's depths, I say.
Coaxing, coaxing.
There's nothing to fear. Breathe it in. Drown.
My words strike like an anvil. The thief's breath catches, and a spark of something enters his eyes. It's not fear. He's too alien a creature for that. Shock, maybe. Or betrayal.
Or maybe it's that for all his dealings with death, this eternal thing can't conceive of it happening to him. And now it is. Whatever ward he's been casting, it sits in the air unfinished, and it's not clear that it would be useful at this point anyway. My eyes, my body, my magic, everything that I am beckons to him. Join us down below. It doesn't matter that he's a god and I'm not, nor does it matter that my power is infinitesimal next to his. I promise a dream, a beautiful, deadly dream, and what is more powerful than that? Dreams, desire. What wouldn't you do to have what you most want? I slip beneath the lapping surface, all around me howling phantom things grab and claw at the thief. They hadn't harmed me. I hadn't even thought they were capable of it. But they're harming Eurybios, his skin splitting open, his blood looking like ink in the water before his skin heals over. Drown, drown, drown. Even down here, I whisper it. The waterline climbs up his neck, then his jaw. I don't know whether he sinks the rest of the way himself, or if he stops fighting against the powers pulling at him, but all at once his head sinks below the surface. Drown! The thief, Eurybios, opens his mouth and draws in water. That's all it takes for the spirits to swarm him, descending on the god like ravenous beasts. If I thought they were hurting him before, it's nothing compared to their onslaught now. I see muscle and bone as they tear into him. More disturbingly, the dead shove their way into his mouth. The thief's eyes are open, and the entire time he stares at me, his eyes sharp with desire and alarm. Eurybios reaches for me, either in want or in need, the water around his arm darkening with his shadowy blood. But I never take that offered hand, and the spirits crowd in so thick that after several moments, the thief disappears behind so many ephemeral bodies. The moment the two of us lose eye contact, his screams start up, the sound muffled by water and the spirits forcing their way into his mouth. I linger underwater, my ears feasting on his dying cries. They grow fainter and fainter, until eventually they vanish altogether. And then, boom. The thief's magic detonates, rippling outward. It slams into me, throwing me back before continuing on, blasting across the throne room. In its wake, the spirits begin to fall away from the thief. Only there's no more thief. No body, no bones, just a few drops of inky blood. The last of his dark magic unfurls in the water, then dissipates away. His death wasn't the sweet seduction I promised him it would be. It was painful, brutal, as it should have been. He's gone. The thief is finally dead. Maybe there will always be darkness and shadows and all those things that happen when the sun goes down. Maybe night will always be waiting to swallow up the earth, but today, darkness died. Chapter 45. When I rise from the water, the dead cling to my clothes, not wanting to release me. Eventually, and reluctantly, they do. I gave them the blood they demanded, after all. They slip back into the pool where they wait for whatever it is that the rulers of the underworld do with the souls of the dead. Now that the thief is well and truly gone, his staggering magic lifts from the air and the room around me brightens. The siren's savage nature is still riding me hard. I want to kiss and touch and taste and torment. I want it all so badly that my wings and claws throb. I've only taken a step or two when Dez appears several feet from me. I come to a stop and I don't dare breathe. This feels like a spell, one that will be broken the moment I move. We stare at each other for one beat, then two, and then the spell is broken. Dez disappears only to reappear right in front of me. The Night King crushes me to him, and it is everything I've needed.
I gather his shirt into my fists as his lips find mine. Suddenly it feels like I can breathe again, like the world has colors and purpose and joy because Desmond Flynn, King of the Night, is alive and in my arms. He tastes like magic and mayhem. I want to laugh. I'm sure I'm going to cry. Des is no dream, no apparition that will be swept away when the thief has had his fun. Somehow he outwitted death. When the kiss ends, I stare up at him. Those pale silver eyes, that softness right around his mouth, all those planes of his face that are so very heartbreaking. I didn't know I could miss anything so damn badly. You're real, right? I whisper.
I'm real.
The Night King is giving me that gaze of his, the one that makes me feel like I'm something worthy of worship. I thought I lost you. My voice breaks. The corner of his mouth curves up and he looks at me so tenderly.
There are many uncertainties in life, but this one thing holds true. I will always come back to you, Cherub.
Des is not just darkness. He's moonlight and stardust. He's wishes and adventure and a love as vast as the night sky. And he's here. Alive. He's alive. A flash of anger flares through me, and I give him a light shove. I thought you were dead. He smiles, catching my wrist.
Aw, Cherub, he says. Don't be mad.
Don't aw Cherub me, Des, I say, yanking my wrist out of his grasp. You can't even know what it was like, I say hoarsely. You can't. I couldn't dream up a nightmare worse than that. Those hours I spent lamenting him. Des closes the last of the space between us, his face turning somber.
I can, Callie. I almost lost you once.
His eyes pinch shut and he gives his head a shake.
I'm so sorry, he says.
He opens his eyes, his gaze blazing.
For deceiving you and forcing you to experience that. There is no worse hell.
There really isn't.
And I'm so sorry for making you face the thief alone.
He takes my hand and cups it between his.
Never again.
He vows, his voice fierce. I take a deep breath and pull myself together. Now that Des is alive and burning with his own brightness, my skin has finally started to dim, my wings and claws and scales disappearing from view. I want more than promises and apologies from you, I say. Des's eyes brighten and a corner of his mouth lifts when he realizes exactly what I'm asking. He brings his wrist up in front of himself. As I watch, a strand of spider silk forms around it, then a dull, black bead.
Is this fair?
He asks. A deal. One that I get to claim. I give him a skeptical look. One bead? I endured my soulmate's death and faced down a god, and all I have to show for it is one measly bead?
Demanding siren. Fine.
A second bead appears next to the first. I give Des another light shove, a laugh slipping out. The laugh turns into a sob. And the sob? The sob gives way to ugly, heaving tears. And that's how this fearsome siren ends up sitting on the bargainer's lap in the Death King's throne room, listening to the bargainer sing her a fey lullaby, his head pressed to hers. It was bound to happen. The last bit of my bravery was spent killing Eurybios. I've got nothing left.
I love you, Cherub.
Des murmurs.
More than any fairy has a right to love anything.
He sweeps away my tears with his thumbs. I nod against him.
I'll add a whole row of black beads to the bracelet. Several rows. Just please stop crying. I can't bear the sight of you sad.
He punctuates the sentiment by taking my hand and kissing the base of my palm. And then he kisses each fingertip, and the whole thing is so ridiculously sweet that I choke up again. Closing my eyes, I take a few deep breaths. It's a physical thing, putting myself back together, but eventually I do it. I open my eyes and cup Des's face. I love you. I smile a little as I say it. I rise to my feet, pulling the bargainer up after me. He still wears his crown, and he looks every bit the fairy king. He squeezes my hand, and I think that's his way of seeing if I'm ready to leave this room, and God, am I ready, but before we go, I notice a discarded shirt several feet away. It's Eurybios's shirt. He must have removed it right before he entered the pool. Walking over to it, I pick the shirt up. Dez eyes it curiously as I begin to twist the cloth round and round, turning the shirt into a makeshift rope. I then slide the rope through my belt loops. There's a box this belongs in, a box that sits in a house with sandy floors and chipped countertops, a box that all my most prized relics go in. It's a memento, I say, tying off the thief's shirt. Dez's gaze turns capricious.
You may not live in the ocean, Callie, but you are every inch the siren.
I don't know much about sirens, other than the few lines I've found in dusty school textbooks and what I've learned myself, but collecting macabre mementos of victims seems about right. The bargainer's gaze sweeps over the pool. The waters are still humming, the sound pricking my skin. His eyes drop to me.
You've never been more fearsome than you were when you took down the thief, he says.
I remember my magic singing through my veins and the thrill of watching my victim bend to my will, a god whose immortal life I stole because I ordered him to die.
You were watching? I ask.
Dez should be frightened of me, not impressed. But I guess I'm overlooking the fact that my husband is a cold-blooded killer.
How could I not? I'm a terribly curious creature.
So he watched me kill. I wonder if he thinks of me differently. People like us are someone's nightmare. Then again, maybe he always thought of me differently. I just finally lived up to his dark imaginings. The two of us leave the throne room, winding our way back through the palace. Dez's eyes study our surroundings.
So this is the palace of death and deep earth, he says. I gotta admit, I was expecting a little more.
A little more of what? Ghosts? Because I saw plenty. Not going to get those little ghostly fuckers out of my head for a long while.
My mother used to tell me tales of the monsters that lurked in the land of the dead.
I'd bet money the thief hunted them all down for sport long ago. Are you going to tell me how you did it? I ask, interrupting his reverie. Dez gives me a sly look.
How I tricked the thief of souls?
No, how you learned to whistle. Of course, how you tricked the thief. Like pulling teeth with this one. I'm going to need every century of my newly long life to tease out this man's secrets. His eyes spark with delight at my attitude. Dez likes me best with my claws out.
Now, Cherub, you know these secrets are going to cost you.
Dez! He laughs.
Two words. Kinky sex. If you can agree to it, I'll sing like a choir boy and tell you everything.
We both nearly died. The whole world almost fell to the thief, and this is what he's thinking about right now? Kinky sex? I narrow my eyes.
Promise you'll enjoy it, wife. I'm vividly imagining pressing you up against the side of our pool and licking that glowing water from between your...
My skin is starting to glow, which is hugely embarrassing. Fine. But you're going to tell me everything.
It began with solstice.
The two of us have stopped walking so that Dez can explain himself.
When I discovered that the thief of souls, Eurybios, had wanted you to drink the lilac wine so you'd be vulnerable to his magic, I learned three things. One, the thief was a clever bastard. Two, he wanted you. And three, it seemed that no fae was immune to his magic. He could put any of us to sleep the same way he had all of those soldiers. The only thing holding him back was his own scheming.
My mind is racing listening to this.
I knew the thief was waiting for the right moment to exact his plans, whatever they were, and I couldn't let that happen.
Dez's eyes fall heavily on mine.
Not when I knew he wanted you. So I began devising a plan of my own, one that would save you and the other world. I altered it as new information came in about the thief, and once I discovered he was not just a god, but the god of darkness, I knew that even my power was useless against him.
And yet somehow Eurybio still died. Dez threads his fingers through mine.
I'm sorry that I didn't confide in you, Callie. He was using shadows to watch us.
Of course. If Dez had told me his plans, the thief would have learned of them, and the element of surprise would have been lost.
My father's prophecy, he continues. I knew the human it mentioned was you, so I knew that not only could Galagar fall, but the thief could be taken down with him.
My brows knit. How could you be sure the prophecy was about me? I ask. The corner of Dez's mouth curves up.
Shadows are not the only creatures who tell me secrets. There are pixies and diviners and all sorts of other fae that have secrets to share.
So my mate learned I was destined to stop Galagar. That truth sits heavy in me. I was fated to be a killer centuries before I was even born. I try not to shudder at the thought.
At some point it came to me, how to truly stop Eurybios.
He pauses dramatically. I give him a devastating look. And?
He laughs. You're adorable when you're impatient.
He pulls me close and wraps a lock of my hair.
I made two deals, one with the Thief of Souls and another with the Shadows. With the thief, I agreed to willingly become his prisoner so long as neither you nor I died.
The thief hadn't been able to get his hands on Dez until that deal. Not when the Night King made a habit of obliterating the Fae the thief controlled. So Dez came to him and struck a deal that made my mate seem weak and desperate, and Eurybios, in all his pride and power, believed it.
With the Shadows,
Dez continues,
I promised to rid them of Eurybios for once and for all if they were willing to deceive him.
The Shadows that wouldn't speak of the Thief of Souls. That's a big promise, I say. How did the Shadows do it?
You mean how did they trick the thief?
I nod.
Power is sentient. It can make decisions for itself.
Dez and I knew that better than most. It was what kept us apart for 7 years.
The Shadows are a part of that sentience.
Dez continues,
and they are what Eurybios derives his power from. As do I. And that was the thief's fatal mistake. The god forgot that our power comes from the same source. A source has its own free will. So the Shadows and I, we tricked him.
I raise my eyebrows.
I spoke to the darkness during the only times I knew the thief wasn't listening, when you dreamed of him.
All those sick dreams. Dez couldn't stop them from happening, but he could use them against the thief.
The Shadows told me everything I needed to know, and it was them who helped me strike the deal with Eurybios. And when the time came, it was the Shadows that severed the thief's hold on me.
He trusted the darkness with everything that mattered to him. Why do you think the Shadows helped you? I ask. For years, they'd been unwilling to breathe a word against the thief. Dez stares down at me, his gaze intense.
Even before I could really use my power, I spoke to the darkness. They were my first friends.
I think of that lonely, pale-haired boy who lived on Orestes, and my heart aches for him, even though that boy's struggles made him the man I love.
Eurybios brutalized them just as he brutalized the Fae. He abused them into submission eons ago, until the God of Light defeated him and freed the Shadows. But then my father unleashed Eurybios, and the Shadows were forced to cower before his power once more. It's not in the nature of Shadows to be disloyal, even to terrible creatures. But they learned what it was like to exist outside of fear, and that is not something you can forget.
What Dez doesn't add is that fear probably wasn't the only factor that swayed these Shadows. Desmond Flynn is beloved by the darkness. And so, with your help, I say, the Shadows turned on their god. Dez squeezes my hand, his eyes flashing in a very fey way.
And so they did. After the bargainer finishes explaining himself, we continue heading back through the palace. My thoughts are spinning a mile a minute from all that Dez has told me. Faked deaths, disloyal shadows, and the secrets that saved us all. I only shake off these thoughts when the two of us enter the room I found Dez in. The altar still rests where I last saw it, along with all those shelves of potions and medical instruments and books with gilded titles. On the floor are my discarded weapons and the shattered remains of the objects previously knocked from the shelves. None of that, however, is what catches the bargainer's attention. His gaze locks on the slumped form on the other end of the room. In an instant, he disappears from my side, reappearing, wings and all, next to the body of Galagar Nyx. I pace over to my discarded weapons, fastening them back on before I dare to creep closer to Dez and his father. Part of me is fearful that Galagar is still alive. Evil fathers have a way of defying death. In fact, this whole situation has the ring of deja vu to it, only my and Dez's roles are reversed. The bargainer kneels, his white blonde hair skimming his jawline as he stares down at the man who gave him life and death in equal measure. Is he dead? I ask.
Quite.
Dez's gaze travels over him. The bargainer's hand touches one of his father's chest wounds. He studies Galagar's injuries for a long time before he finally glances up.
He was right to fear you. You did kill him in the end.
That was the thief.
You killed the thief, and with the thief's death, the bond they shared broke. The thief could no longer keep Galagar's death at bay.
Birds meet stone. There are still so many questions I have, like why Eurybios woke Galagar when he did, and why the old god decided to uphold his end of their bargain when he so obviously could have broken his oath. But I fear I won't get answers. As we stared down at Dez's dead father, a spectral hand separates itself from Galagar's body, then an arm. Oh, geez, I forgot where we were. The thief was right about one thing. The dead don't ever really die if you're kicking it in the kingdom of death and deep earth. They just change form. A chill runs over me. Is that what happened to the thief? Did he just change form? No, I refuse to believe that. Dez stands, grimacing down at the man.
I wonder if it's possible to beat the shit out of spirits.
I take Dez's hand as Galagar's spirit begins to separate from his body. Leave your father to his fate. I'm sure even the afterlife has its own form of punishment for the wicked. With that, the two of us leave the room and Dez's father behind. Before we leave, we free the prisoners locked in the castle's dungeons. There are 44 of them in total, all that remain of the prior ruling house. Their bodies are scarred and emaciated. Their eyes have lost that spark of hope. One look at them, and it's clear that the thief won't be the last struggle this kingdom faces. And yet, not an hour after they're released, several of them have moved to the dock, pointing at this or that section of the neglected ship. And the ferryman I saw earlier now wades through the well of resurrection, pulling out the spirits one by one. It's one of the strangest sights I've ever seen, and that's saying a lot at this point. Dez steps up to me, his fingers entwining through mine.
Much as I've enjoyed our revelries here, I do believe it's time to go, Callie.
God, I couldn't agree more. We make our way through the castle and back out the front doors. Above us, the darkness has fled. There's a sun low on the horizon and cotton candy skies above us. Under the light, even the pale gardens look different, less ominous and more peaceful. The two of us walk down the path that winds its way from the castle entrance to the archway I passed through earlier, only from this side, the doorway doesn't quite look the same. We come to a stop in front of it. On this side, two stone doors are fitted into the enormous archway. Extending from either side of them are massive stone walls that encircle the palace grounds. I eye the barred gates in front of us. Just before I think we might have to smash into it, the doors creak open, revealing the inky darkness of the pit beyond it. That was easy,
I say. All the myths promised that escape from the land of the dead was impossible. But what do I know? No one gave me a guidebook to this place.
The hard part is coming up,
Dez says ominously. The two of us walk through the gateway, and I only have to struggle a little against whatever enchantments have been placed on it. When we enter the pit, Dez illuminates the space. He whistles at the sea of skeletons.
That's a lot of dead bodies.
It's a sad sight, but at least the fairy who drove these soldiers to their deaths has now been stopped. Dez comes over to me and wraps a hand around my waist. At his back, his talon-tipped wings shimmer into existence.
Hold on, cherub,
he says. What are you... He launches us up, and the rush of air steals away my words. Unlike the trip down, nothing touches either Dez or me as we ascend. The creatures are either still under my glamour, or they know better than to harm their king. We barrel upwards for who knows how long before I start to feel it. Magic. It bears down on us, pressing against my skin, wanting us to stay in the land of the dead. The higher we climb, the heavier it is, and then it's not simply pushing down upon us, but inside us, clawing against our flesh from the inside out. It feels like the time I flew on an airplane when I had a sinus infection. My ears are screaming at the pressure, my skin is starting to sting. We're never going to make it.
There's no easy way to do this, cherub, but it'll be over soon,
Dez says against me. You mean it's going to get worse? The thought has hardly crossed my mind when it does, in fact, get worse. God, it does. My skin lights up as I begin to moan. My entire body is getting crushed by the weight of the magic. I'm just about to let loose the mother of all screams when... Boom! The magic explodes around us, rippling over my skin. And then we're through. I can sense it stitching itself back together beneath us. I glance down at the darkness, unnerved. It was so easy to enter the land of the dead, like easing into a tub, but near impossible to escape it. It's as I gaze into the pit that I see the glint of a pair of eyes trapped on the other side of the magical barrier. They stare at me for a moment before plunging back into the inky shadows. A shudder works its way through me. Good riddance. When we crest the ridge of the pit, I catch sight of hundreds of fae who have gathered around it. News of my face-off with the King of Death and Deep Earth clearly spread. And at the front of them is Temper, who looks immensely relieved. As soon as the crowd sees us, they begin to cheer, the night alighting with the sounds of claps and whistles and sparks of light. We land in front of Temper. She grabs me, hugging me tightly. Thank fuck you're back, my best friend says. You were gone for too long. Dez steps up to us and Temper opens one of her arms. You get in here too, Desmond. You're my brother now. He steps in with a shy smile, letting my best friend crush him in our embrace. Did you kill that motherfucker? Temper asks, releasing us. I meet her eyes. What do you think? She stares at me for a moment, then lets out a laugh. Ha-ha, you badass bitch! I hope you gave him my regards before you blew his ass to smithereens. I shake my head, a whisper of a smile curling my lips. Dez breaks away from us to rise into the air. The crowd, which had been murmuring upon our arrival, now quiets. My mate's eyes move over the group of them.
For the last decade, our kingdom has been plagued by the thief of souls.
Magic amplifies Dez's voice and it booms out into the night.
He kidnapped our soldiers, raped our women, and started a war among our worlds. He destroyed our peace and the sanctity of our kingdom. It was only recently that we discovered that the thief of souls had raided the kingdom of death and deep earth and taken the throne by force. Days ago, he took me hostage, keeping me prisoner in his castle. When all the world thought me lost, my soulmate, your queen, marched down to the gates of the underworld and faced the thief head on.
No one speaks, though I feel all sorts of eyes move to me. Dez gestures for me to join him where he hovers in the sky. Reluctantly, I do. Once I'm by his side, he stares at me. I can see an entire universe in his moonlit eyes.
But Calypso Lilis, Queen of the Night, didn't just face any foe. The Thief of Souls was none other than Eurybios, the primordial god of death and the dark.
There are intakes of breath throughout the gathered crowd, then thoughtful murmurs as they take me in.
Your queen faced Eurybios, and she vanquished him.
Gasps. I can feel those gazes on me like the hands of the dead. But it's the bargainer's gaze that holds me rapt. He gives me a soft smile before announcing to the gathered crowd,
"The thief is no more."
Back in Somnia, the royal prison is suddenly full of very confused Fae soldiers. Among them are Janice and Malachi.
"Has someone been naughty while I've been away?"
Dez asks from the other side of the bars.
"What's going on?"
Janice demands as the iron door slides back.
"Callie killed one of your great and mighty gods," Temper says from where she stands next to me. "Not to be rude, but y'all got some weak-ass gods if this bitch can trounce them,"
she says, nudging me.
"Hey!"
"What?" the sorceress says. "I'm kidding."
"Temper."
Malachi's deep voice has my friend sobering up. He steps up to her, ignoring me and Dez and every other individual swarming the halls of the dungeon. His eyes are fixed on Temper, and his wings
are out.
He touches her cheek, and that's all it takes for my fiery friend to soften. She slips into Malachi's arms.
"Don't ever do that to me again," she says, "or I'll kill you myself."
Dez's general holds Temper tightly, and it's a testament to whatever they've got going on that he doesn't take that threat the wrong way. Janice looks between us.
"Seriously, is anyone going to tell me why I'm in the Night Kingdom's dungeon?"
The bargainer's eyes fall on me while he plays with the beads on his bracelet.
"The queen and I would be delighted to fill you in," he says to Janice. "For a price, of course."
He winks at me. 8 years ago, this began with a dead man and a deal. And now here we are with a few more dead men and a few more deals under our belts. I take Dez's hand and the two of us lead the group out of the dungeon. The King of the Night brings our clasped hands to his lips and presses a kiss to the back of mine. His silver eyes gleam. This man. He's the bargainer who saved my life over and over again, and the king who I ended up saving a time or two. He's a trickster, a secret keeper. He's the dark side of the moon. He's my beautiful, terrible mystery. My friend, my soulmate. From flame to ashes, dawn to dusk, until darkness dies. He's mine, and I'm his. Always.
Epilogue. 7 years later.
Dez and I land in our backyard, our wings folding up behind us. Overhead, the stars glitter down, and far below our yard, the Pacific crashes against the beach. Twining my fingers through Dez's, I start towards the house. My eyes go to the moss-lined shingles and the weathered exterior. The paint is peeling off a little, but I'm hesitant to redo it. When I bought this house a decade ago, its imperfections were what I cherished most about it. Well, that and the ocean in the backyard. Our house on Catalina Island can be the pretty one. This is our homey bungalow. I lead Dez to the sliding glass door. With a snick, it opens, revealing our bedroom beyond. The walls are covered in photographs of faraway cities. The only thing consistent about them is the smiling couple in each. Dez's light features pressed closely to my dark ones. Scattered among the photographs is the bargainer's artwork, most depicting otherworld cities we've been to that my camera conveniently can't capture. Of course, there are a few embarrassing sketches of me, a couple which are borderline inappropriate. That's what I get for still being a sucker that makes deals with the bargainer.
and the rest of the room is filled with kitschy trinkets. Some from this world, some from another. Most are the result of one of Dez's rigged dares, like the enormous sombrero pinned on the wall that he got me to wear for an entire evening. But some, like the Cycladic figurines sitting on our bookshelf, are gifts we've given each other. But all of it is a testament to the incredible life we live. Ahead of us, the comforter slides back from the bed. I give Dez the side eye. That's a bit presumptuous.
No, cherub, this is presumptuous.
The top button on my pants pops open and my zipper slides down. My shirt begins to tug itself up. My skin brightens with interest because even after all these years, my siren is still a hussy when it comes to Dez. The king of the night laughs and scoops me up, tossing me lightly onto the bed.
Phew, he says. I've still got it.
He drapes himself over the lower half of my body, his torso conveniently nestled between my legs. Dez smooths his hands down my inner thighs, his gaze caught on mine. I feel the cool brush of his bracelet against my skin. I wear its twin on my own wrist. Favors we owe each other. Dez still moonlights as a bargainer, and I join him on his deals probably more than I should, especially considering that I still do part-time work with Temper at West Coast Investigations, and I help rule a kingdom. I feel a brush of magic, and the Metallica shirt Dez wears now slips off. My fingers trail over his tattoos. I trace the rosary of black beads twisting up his arms. If I took the time to count them all, I'd find there were 322 of them, the exact number of beads that first bound me to him.
You owe me a few favors, cherub.
He punctuates that declaration with a kiss to the hollow beneath my throat. His pelvis moves against me, and my core flares to life. I thread my fingers through his white hair, tilting his head back so our gazes meet. You owe me a few favors yourself. He cocks an eyebrow.
Is that right?
I feel the faintest breath of his magic as my shirt melts off of me.
Lucky for you, I think I know just the thing to clear me of my debts.
The bargainer begins to move down my torso, his lips skimming my skin. He kisses my belly button, his hands gliding to my hips before continuing down. I feel his breath fan across my flesh, and it raises goosebumps along my arms. Too good to be true. All that hoping and wishing and yearning. Life is never supposed to give you what you want, and if it does, best not to assume it's forever. But if there's one thing I've learned about the bargainer, about us, it's that we've paid our dues and then some. And now we get to have this for the rest of our very long lives. Suddenly, Dez pauses, his mouth poised in that tantalizing space between my abdomen and my pelvis. He turns his head to the side, pressing his ear into my soft skin as though my very flesh was whispering secrets to him. His grip tightens on my hips. Ever so slowly, he lifts his head, his eyes meeting mine. I can't read his expression. I can't read his expression, and I really, really want to know what's running through his mind, because the look he's giving me is not normal. What? I finally say, breaking the weird silence between us. Dez smiles, and it's so bright, so heart-wrenchingly beautiful, that it's physically hard to look at him. He leans down and kisses my flesh. What? I say again.
I have a secret.
This has been Dark Harmony, The Bargainer, Book 3, written by Laura Thalassa, narrated by Susanna Jones and J. Ben Markson. Copyright 2018 to present by Laura Thalassa. Production copyright by Laura Thalassa.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.